In some ways, I'm not introducing anybody new to you because he's been here lots of times, but he's one of our favorite people who come to our church. He gets embarrassed when I talk this way, but I think he's actually a true apostle in the work that he does, as he's an elder in the church here in Richmond Tabernacle. But he works with India Mission and in the state of Bihar, and they've planted scores and hundreds of churches, which he's going to tell us a little bit about. And I always look forward to having Matthew back with us again, because he just seems to touch our hearts. And brother, you have been a blessing to us. We're glad to associate with you and to hang out with you in friendship and come to our church on a Sunday. We're really blessed. So he's been struggling. He's been traveling, of course, overseas. Now he's back, and he's got to struggle with his throat a bit here this morning. So bear with him if he kind of treats his throat with a little bit of tenderness, because he's got to go twice in two services here. So brothers and sisters, would you welcome Matthew Koji to our pulpit here? Bless you. Yeah, bless you.
I was wondering, if somebody gets a sore throat, you're going to blame on me. But no, you cannot, because Marcel was already here. Amen. It's a joy and a pleasure for me to be here. My sound is a little sore today, but please bear with me. Now, always it is a joy for me to be here, especially I greatly respect and admire the ministry of Pastor Owen and Sister Val, and also my dear friends here. And it is always a great encouragement for me to be here and sharing the word with you. As he has already mentioned, for the last several years, I must say, it's about more than 15 years that India Mission, a mission that is working in India in a province called Bihar, which was once known as the graveyard of mission. We have been partnering with Lynn Valley Church for the last over 15 years. And your partnership and your blessings have brought much, much blessing in that part of the world. 104 million people. One state, 104 million people. More three times the population of Canada. We went in 1992-93. Over the last 20 years, for God's glory, I must say that there are close to 2,000 churches now. We have Bible college, we have regional training centers, we have schools, we have kids' homes, and many other things God is doing in that place. And I must say that from the very early part of that ministry, Lynn Valley Church had faith in it. Sometimes, you know, it's very difficult to convince because there are all kinds of things happening in the world. But from the very beginning, Pastor Owen and my brother Simon and all the dear brothers here trusted us and committed to us, and God has been faithful. And once again, I want to thank you for that. I would have loved to bring some slides today, but because of time constraint, I could not do that. Ideally, I had a video which I should have shown here, but I feel regret now. Pastor Marcel mentioned here, gave you a note about after 1 week, we have the Mother's Day. I hope Pastor Owen will allow me to take the freedom to give another note. One more from that, you have the Pentecost Sunday as well. So there are much to celebrate this year, this month. While you are with us in the mission that we are, we are in a mission in the world, not only with India Mission. There's a primary commandment that the Lord has given, a primary commission that the Lord has given, in which you and I are all part of it. After the ascension of Jesus Christ, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was with his disciples for 40 days. And after 40 days, he asked them, let us go to Mount Olive. They all went to that mountain there, and while they were there, he told them, do not depart from Jerusalem. Within a short while, you will receive the promise of the Father that I have talked to you. You will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even after seeing the crucifixion, even after seeing the resurrection, even after being 40 days with the resurrected Messiah, his final words that he was saying to them did not make much impact in their hearts. Because they were so preconceived in their hearts with a passion. They asked him, by the by, that's all good. Tell us when you're going to establish our kingdom in Jerusalem. When are you going to establish the kingdom of David to us? When can we sit with you as rulers in Jerusalem? That's human mind. No wonder, you know, if you preach, somebody doesn't understand. I don't have to blame ourselves much, because there's no greater preacher than Christ. After preaching to them 3.5 years, it didn't make sense to them. But Jesus said, those things only my Father knows. Those times and seasons only the Father knows. But I tell you one thing. Before long, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. So that's what I want to tell you. Forget about other things, because those things belong to my Father. So we have a commission. That's why I'm so excited about our distinctive. Our distinctive. We as a congregation have a distinctive. Our distinctive is that we are Pentecostal. Sometimes, you know, I'm a little bit concerned. When I came 25 years back in Canada, most of the Pentecostal churches had the name. I was in Richmond. They call Richmond Pentecostal Church. Delta Pentecostal Church. Broadway Pentecostal Church. But now slowly, slowly, the Pentecostal is falling away. It's called Broadway Church, Delta Church, Pacific Church. All kinds of names are coming, but the middle name is falling away. I don't know where this is heading to, but I'm glad to say today that we have a distinctive. That is that we are Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal. We have something that the Lord has very specially shown to us. Today, for a few moments, I want to speak about that topic. That is the promise of the Father, the promise of the Spirit. Would you please turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy." They shall prophesy. This is a profound moment of the declaration of the gospel by the apostles. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus took them to the Mount Olivet. And in front of them, he ascended. But before he ascended, he told them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem. Wait until you are endued with power from above. The disciples went to Jerusalem. They found a room that was on the upper room. 120 people gathered in that place. After 40 days, Jesus ascended. And on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, we understand Pentecostal experience as something in the New Testament. But it is not something that is not explained in the Old Testament. If you look in to understand the festivals of the Jewish people, in the Old Testament, God gave them 7 festivals to celebrate. The first 3 festivals are the festival of the Passover that happens on the 14th day of the first month, Abib. First month, 14th day, they will sacrifice a lamb. It's a remembrance of what happened in Egypt when the people of Israel were coming out of the land. By the blood of the lamb, all the firstborn in the camp of the Israelites were saved. Passover. The same night, they will start the festival of the unleavened bread. And also, that happens on a Thursday night, but on Sunday morning. This is the time of their harvest. They'll bring the first sheaf of the harvest. They'll bring it to the temple. And the priest will take that sheaf, and he will lift it high, and he will wave it to the four sides. To the east and to the west, to the north and the south. This is called the festival of the first sheaf. So these first 3 festivals happens in the first month of the Israeli calendar, month of Abib. The festival of the Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread, and also the festival of the first sheaf. Then after that, all the people will go back to their homes. Now they will come back. In the 7th month, they have 3 festivals. Those 3 festivals, first one is called the Festival of the Trumpet. They will blow a big trumpet and all people will gather for the Festival of the Trumpet. And then they have a Festival of the Atonement. And lastly, the 7th one, they will have a festival of the booth. But in between, now we have said 6 festivals. The festival of the Passover, the festival of the unleavened bread, the festival of the sheaf. And in the 7th month, we have the festival of the trumpet, the festival of the atonement, and the festival of the booth. But in between, counting 7 weeks from the day the sheaf was lifted up, Israel will count 7 weeks, 49 days, and on the 50th day. That is why it is called the Pentecost. Penta means 5. 50th day. They will come for a celebration on the 3rd month. That is called the day of Pentecost. A great festival, they will do it. And all the people of Israel will come from the various parts of the world and they will congregate in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Pentecost. You know what? Jesus was caught the night of the Passover. The night of the Passover, Jesus was caught. And he was crucified on that Friday. And he rose again on Sunday, the day of the festival of the first sheaf. He was the first fruit from the dead. They raised him up. The first fruit from the dead was Christ himself. He rose from the grave. That depicts the lifting of the sheaf and waving to the four sides of the world. And now, counting from there 7 weeks, on the 50th day, that is the day the disciples were gathered in the upper room. 40 days they were with Jesus Christ. Then 10 days they waited in the upper room. And then came the day of Pentecost. And we read in the Acts chapter 2, tongues of fire appeared upon them. And it fell on all of them. They all began to speak in tongues and extol and praise God. You know, most amazing thing, Jerusalem was filled with people celebrating Pentecost. Thousands and thousands of people were clamoring Jerusalem in the festivity of the Pentecost. But there were only 120 people in a remote place in Jerusalem worshiping God. That was good enough. God's Spirit fell in that place. Most amazing thing is that the whole Jerusalem came around. They did not have a TV program. They did not have an advertisement in the big, what do you call that? That airplanes, you know, they're right there and say, and fly here. Nothing was there. 120 people gathered in a small room. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, that was good enough to draw the whole Jerusalem into that place. My dear brothers and sisters, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is something unique that God has promised for you. God has promised for you. And suddenly everybody thought these people were wild. These people were drunk. Some heard them speaking in their own languages. Some were amazed, praising and talking about the glory of God. Some did not understand anything. They said, these people are drunk. It is at that particular moment, Peter, who denied Jesus 50 days back, three times, that people, Peter stood up and is declaring these words from the book of Joel. He says, as the book of the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This is what was promised by prophet Joel. I'm glad, you know, when you came, brother was singing the song. Yeah, the prophets, right? The song, how was the song first line? Is it? We are called to be prophets. When I heard that song, I said, it was right. It lines with the message that the Lord has put in my heart. We are called to be prophets. My subject today, I wanted to refer to that particular thing that Peter said. This was what was spoken by prophet Joel. He's referring to a prophet who spoke. Say, for a moment, I wouldn't take you to the book of Joel, because that gives us a context of what we're talking about. Joel was one of the pre-exilic prophets of Judah. He lived around B.C. 825. And he prophesied during the reign of King Josiah. We had to go back in a little history of the Jewish people. God called Abraham. God called Abraham and said, I will bless you. I'll make you a blessing. Let me tell you, still God is calling. Today, God's call is coming in this place as well. And God is saying, I will bless you. And I will make you a blessing. And Bible says, Abraham believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Let me ask you, do you believe? Do you believe that God is able to bless you? Do you believe the blessings of Christ are for you? If you believe, you will receive it. And not only that you will receive it, God will make you a blessing as well. Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Yehuda, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin. There were 12 sons of Jacob. They were known as the 12 tribes of Israel. You know the story how Jacob went to Egypt because of Joseph, and how God brought them out of the land. back to the Palestine. And since they came there, God raised a time of judges. We know, starting from Joshua up to Samuel, judges were ruling the people of Israel. But when Samuel was the prophet, Samuel was the judge, people came and said, we would like to have a king like that of the Gentiles. Now, we are so eager to worship idols. That's a human nature. They said, we want a king like the Gentiles. It was displeasing to God. God said, I am your king. Do you need another king? I have a plan and purpose for your life. I have a plan and purpose to lead you to victory. Do you need another leader for you? Hallelujah. But Samuel was forced by these people. And God talked to Samuel and said, give them a king. But tell them one thing. They will serve your king forever. They will serve your king forever. Then God gave them the king, Saul. Big failure. Then God raised the king, David. In the midst of failure, there was success. God was pleased with Jacob. And Jacob had a son, Solomon. Jacob is the one who actually annexed every biblical boundary, the promise that God gave to Moses, to Abraham. He captured Jerusalem. Until then, Jerusalem was not in the hands. And he captured Jerusalem and he built the city of David there. That's where we see the temple built. David wanted to build the temple. But God said, no. No, I will give you a son and he will build it. In fact, prophetically, it has taught two dimensions of understanding. We know in the material sense, God gave him Solomon and he built the temple. But more than that, that temple was destroyed. The true temple was built by the son whom God gave to David, son of David, Jesus Christ. That is the promise that God gave David. And after Solomon, you know, never fought any war. Solomon lived in luxury. He taxed people heavy. And after his time, after David's time, after Solomon's time, his son, Rehoboam, became the king. I'm giving you some historical background. To understand this, it's very important. Rehoboam became the king. And the people came and said, your dad, Solomon, has taxed us so much that it's very difficult to live in this land. Maybe like Canada now. But no, I don't mind paying tax. I'm happy with that. But what I'm saying is, they wanted to reduce the tax. Rehoboam went and asked his elderly councils, what should we do? They said, listen to the people. Reduce the tax. Let the people live. Reduce the tax. Okay? He went and asked his young counselors. They said, you know, you young guy, you have to be strong. You should not heed to these people. Tell them that my little finger will be thicker than my father's thigh. Suddenly, tax revolt started. The kingdom was divided into two. Under the leadership of Jeroboam, they established Israel, northern country, with 10 tribes. And the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remained in Judea, in Jerusalem, under the kingship of Rehoboam. So the kingdom was divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And if you look into the history, we can see the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were both ruled by good kings and bad kings. To make the matter short, within a short while, they went after all the abomination that was of the Gentiles. You know one thing? If one person fails, he and his family may fail. But if a leader fails, the whole nation fails. Here we can see that because of the fall of the kings, people went into astray. They were worshiping idols. And that is the time these prophets were raised. There were prophets which are called pre-exilic prophets because these are the prophets who prophesied before exile. There were prophets who prophesied during exile. And also there was prophets who prophesied after the exile. Post-exile. What I mean to say is that Joel was one person who was prophesying to Judah as a pre-exilic prophet. What was the message of that prophecy? All the prophets said, God's judgment is coming upon Israel. There is no justice in the land. There is no charity in the land. There is corruption everywhere. Judgment of God is coming upon the land. Repent! 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 That was the message. God may show mercy. But they never heeded to that. And we know the story. The 10 tribes, Assyrians came and they completely conquered them. And they were taken away. Probably you must have seen television documentaries. The lost tribes of Israel, 10 tribes were lost. We have no history of them coming back to Israel. Then the rest of the people we know as Jews are the 2 tribes. That is Judah and Benjamin. 2 tribes. They're the ones that we normally know as the Jewish people. Do you remember when Paul was writing the letter? He said, you know, I was a Hebrew, born by a Hebrew, and I was a Benjaminite. He was proud that he was a Benjaminite. Why? You're saying that I was the one group that was faithful with Judah standing in Jerusalem. I was zealous as a Pharisee for the law. So they're Benjaminite. But the northern kingdom under the leadership of Jeroboam, later many kings came. You know, King Ahab and all those people came. And what happened there? They were taken as captives by Syria. But this is a prophet Joel prophesying to the Judea. That means the 2 tribes. Let me look into that prophecy for a few moments to understand what it is. He talks about 3 periods in his prophecy. In the first period, he talks about desolation by locust. He's talking about the judgment of God coming upon Israel, Judea. In Joel chapter 1, verse 4, we read like this. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. He's talking about a big catastrophe coming upon the people of Judea. He talks about a chewing locust. Then he talks about a swarming locust. Then he talks about a crawling locust. And fourthly, he talks about a consuming locust. A locust infestation is going to come upon the people of Israel. You know, it says there, when they came, the land before them was like Garden of Eden. But when they left, what was left behind was a land that's absolutely bare. Nothing was there. Let me pause here for a moment. In our lives, many a times, these kinds of locusts will come. It talks about a chewing locust. Anything that we cherish in our life, these chewing locusts will come and they will chew it off. And whatever that was left, it says a swarming locust will come. They swarm on you and finish it off. And what was fallen on the floor, the crawling locust will come. Even that will be consumed completely. And at the end, there may be some white or just branches left there. The consuming locust will come and finishing that too. And there is nothing left in the land. The wine is barren. The fig tree is barren. The oil is barren. And grains are barren. I tell you, this is the fruit of sin in the land. For sin, there is judgment of God. God will send his judgment upon the people. This is not talking about Gentiles. This is talking about East Judea. This is talking about the chosen people. If they sin, there will be punishment. Going further, if you come to Joel chapter 2, verse 2 to 5, you read, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them. even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like the swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over the mountains, they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. My dear brothers and sisters, we have to realize there is judgment for sin. The judgment will start in the house of the Lord. The judgment will start with the people of Jerusalem. Then only it comes to the Gentiles. The prophet then speaks about repentance as the only way for salvation. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 17, we read, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in kindness. And he relents from doing harm." In the midst of all judgment, the prophet is pointing to a way out. He says, our God will relent. God will relent if you fast and pray, it says. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to your God. Hallelujah. That the nations, and says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. A time of fasting, a time of calling of God comes, because he says, prophet knows that our God will relent. Our God is a forgiving God. If you come to him in brokenness, if you come to him in fasting, in humbling our hearts, the prophet is saying, God will forgive. And also God will deliver us from this condition. Joel chapter 2, verse 18 to 21, we read like this. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you northern army. I will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. There is a promise that God will deliver his people. God will deliver his people. As I said, you know, Joel speaks about three periods. Speaks about three periods. The first one was God's judgment and repentance he's calling. And the second period that he's talking about is period where God has promised that he will pour his spirit. Now, many of our lives sometimes are barren. The enemy has ravaged our life. He has ravaged personal lives. He has ravaged the family life. He has ravaged the social life. He has ravaged the nation and the churches. But here it says that you have a God who is able to restore you. If you come to him in repentance and humbling heart, then God is able to restore us. He says, be glad then. After restoring us, after restoring our fortune like the grain and the wine and the fig tree, he has promised his Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 23, we read, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. There is a promise from God of a former rain and a latter rain. When you see your life as completely barren, when you see your life destroyed by the work of the enemy, you have a promise from God today that he will bring life back to you. Hallelujah. He will give you a former rain and he will give you a latter rain. I've restored to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Let me ask you today, did you ever face of your life where swarming locust was destroying your life? God is saying, I'll restore that to you. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust, God will restore. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Surely we have a promise of the Holy Spirit. We have a sure promise of the Holy Spirit. The third part, you know, at the very beginning of this book of Joel, he speaks about the last days. And then he says, the day of the Lord. These are two terminologies used in this book. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Which is these last days. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God spoke to us in many ways in the past. But now in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. From the very moment Jesus came, we are living in the last days. These last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. But also it talks about the day of the Lord. If you turn with me to Joel chapter 3 verse 2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them. They are on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. He's talking about Jesus coming back, establishing his kingdom here. I will gather all the nations. In chapter 3, verse 9 onwards, we read like this. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Wake up the mighty men and let all men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. God is calling for a war. And we know in the day of the Lord, he will come with vengeance. And he will bring justice to his people. The Lord will shelter for his people, will be a shelter for his people and strength of the children of Israel. So shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. The Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through there again. And it will come to pass in the days that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, water the valley of Acacias. He's talking about reestablishing his kingdom in Jerusalem. The water will flow into the valleys. My dear brothers and sisters, I said, you know, Joel speaks about three periods. First, he speaks about a time of judgment, a time for repentance and salvation. Then he talks about a time of the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And the third, we can see a time when the Messiah comes and establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem, where the wine will drip, where there will be a flow of living water, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord. Why I said this is very significant, where the promise of the Holy Spirit stays. There was a time of judgment. There was a time under the law. But Paul writes to the Romans and says, the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and of the law of death. There was a time when condemnation was prevailing. There was a time that you were under condemnation, but when you repented, when you accepted Christ in your heart, that period is over. It is a period of pouring His Spirit upon you. And now a day we are waiting for is the time when the Messiah will come and establish his kingdom. Between these two periods, now we live in the middle period. This is the time of the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, you can take it in one more step to understand. It talks about a chewing locust. It talks about a consuming locust. It talks about four kinds of locusts there. Chewing locust, swarming locust, crawling locust, and consuming locust. I was just praying and I was just thinking, this is so real about the people of Israel. Israel was a great nation, but Babylon came and completely destroyed them. Everything was taken away. Then came the Medo-Persian Empire. I would call them the swarming locusts came. Whatever left, they destroyed. And then came the crawling locust, the Greek Empire came. And then we can see at the end, the consuming locust, the Roman Empire came. Everything that was in Jerusalem was completely scattered, destroyed, and people were taken away from there. But I tell you today, Israel has a hope. Israel has a hope. Because God has said, in these last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Where there is no life, where everything was barren, where there was nothing there, there was no fruit, there's no wine, there's no oil, there's no grain, God is able to pour out that upon you. But only one thing that has to happen, we repent. Repent, repent, repent. John the Baptist came with this message. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus himself, and Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John speaks like this. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus himself said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus spoke about that. Hallelujah. In Peter's message, which we read there, Peter in the day of Pentecost, he speaks. When they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Same message, John the Baptist. Same message, Jesus Christ. Same message comes from Peter as well. Repent. Repent and be baptized. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. God will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. It is that baptism in the Holy Spirit. He turns around the barrenness and brings life into you. Where there was no joy, it brings joy. Where there was no food, he brings food. Where there was no bread, he brings bread. Where there was no grain, he brings grain in your life. Because he pours his Holy Spirit upon. We are living in that time. Let me ask you, when Paul went into Ephesus, he had one question to the church. There were 12 people. Having believed in Jesus, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? That's my question for you today. Having believed in Jesus Christ, are you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? John said, the one who is coming after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. This is the period of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we are waiting for the third period that Joel prophesied. This is what the life. Today, the message is, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? The period that we live, the last days, is a period of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. May the Lord grant that to you. Let every barrenness, every famine in the land, let it be gone by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He says, your young men shall dream, have visions. Sometimes we ask questions here. Is there any job? Economy is good. Oh, I don't think anything we can get out of it. No, God says you will have visions. He's not talking about the vision that you get in the night when the sleep is not well. This is a vision for accomplishment in your heart, which God's Spirit will give into your heart. There is hope for you. Old men shall have dreams. If I say to some of the old men, what is your dream? My dream is the funeral home. No, you will have a new dream in your life to accomplish things when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Upon my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. Everybody will have hope. Everybody will have life. This is the time of the promise. Let me ask you that question again and finish my message. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? If not, that is the need of the hour. That is the need of the hour. Nothing less. Nothing more. God bless you.
Yes, amen. Let's stand together, shall we? You were very punctual, my brother. How many thought there was a lot of meat? That was a powerful word, brother. We're going to talk more about that. We should have had that up in the notes. That's excellent, excellent. All of this month, we're going to be celebrating the day of Pentecost. We want to honor the Holy Spirit, really what we want to do. We've got on the actual Pentecost Sunday, at least according to the church calendar, I'm preaching in the morning, and Linda, wave Linda, she's preaching at night. And that is one of her themes, too, of the importance of the baptism of the Spirit. So we are going to leave lots of room for the Lord to touch our hearts and our lives, to bring a dynamic in order to reach people that matter to the Lord. We need a dynamic that goes beyond just our enthusiasm. We need a passion. We heard that. And so we're going to be praying. So I would ask you, even as we close the service now, that you would ask the Lord, Lord, use the next 30 days, use it in my life to light a fire in my life. Because I believe that you have not because you ask not. If we ask the Lord to bring us fresh passion, fresh enthusiasm, not man-made, not made up ourselves, but just because we've met with the Lord and the power of His Spirit. And that's what we are going to do. So I'm going to invite you, even as I pray, will you make it your prayer? Lord, touch me this week, or this month. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all you have for us. You've got things for us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would set this church on a fresh course, a new dynamic, a real passion. Lord, we pray that you would fire us up. Not that we just be enthusiastic, Lord, but deep in our heart, something burning that we cannot ignore. Lord, I ask you to take me further this next 30 days. And I pray for everybody here, dear Lord, hear our cry. Thank you for the period of time we're in. We thank you. This is the age of the Spirit. And we want to receive all that there is. Lord, we don't want to neglect it in any way. But we want to embrace what your word is, what we've heard even today. We want to embrace it, Lord. And we'll thank you. And we'll be able to look back and say, that was a period of my life where God really touched me. So thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to invite you to join us on the patio. Hope you can. I don't want to wear out Brother Matthew too much, but if he might want to join us there as well. So, Brother Matthew, thank you for being with us here this morning. God bless you. See you on the patio.